en la presencia del Dios Altísimo y Omnipotente. We're gathered here in the name and in the presence of the God that is the highest and all powerful. Y con Él no hay nada imposible. And with Him nothing is impossible. Porque Él hace milagros y maravillas diariamente. Because He does miracles and marvels every day. Estoy muy contento. I'm very happy. Que ese Dios, this God, es Dios mío. He's my God. Hallelujah. Y yo soy hijo de Él. And I'm His son. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good to us, isn't He? Amen. Nobody like Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we got a lot going on here. Amen. I want to say thank you to the M&Ms. M&M, that's, you didn't know that, Sister Martin and Sister McGee. for the landscaping that's going on. If you've been in the back there, it looks so much better, doesn't it? Amen. Got some little flowers going on back there and stuff. I appreciate that. In the process of redoing the side over here that had gotten kind of away from us, had grown up a whole lot. And so I appreciate them working with that and got some plans, and I appreciate them doing that. Amen. After service tonight, well, are you all ready to eat? Anybody hungry? Well, I'm sorry. You ate before you came then. Well, if you're Pentecostal, that don't make any difference. You can eat when you get through too. Amen. If you're not hungry yet, you will be when I get through. Amen. Brother and Sister Morris are going to feed us after service. What are we having? All right. That sound good to you? Sounds good to me. And you're going to love the price. For us, it's free. It's not for them, but it is for us. So thank you so very much. We appreciate that. God bless you. So let's get together over in fellowship. Soon as service is over, we'll have a good time of fellowship and food. And thank you for your hard work. And we'll look forward to that after service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our kids can, if you'd like to go to your class, and our upper room youth, you can go to your class tonight. Amen. And then we that are more than conquerors are going to stay here. Let me say it's good to see everybody tonight. Glad you're here. Amen. Good to have Sister Washer and Brother Russell home after their tour. Good to see Brother and Sister Hudson here tonight. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And our guests from our Spanish sister congregation, God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. But looking tonight to the word of the Lord, we're going to the book of Galatians. This is a verse that some of us are quite familiar with. But it just explains a lot about life. Life's challenging, isn't it? It's very challenging. Some things happen in life that don't make a lot of sense. But I think there's some things here that might help us tonight. It'll help us to understand a little bit better about this thing called life. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. There's just a whole lot here tonight, and I want to teach the next little bit about the laws of the harvest. Laws of the harvest. We, as a nation, have way from our rural roots that many of us had as children, and our parents and our grandchildren. So many people have moved away from the farm. A lot of folks don't really understand even where food comes from anymore. I was listening to on radio some years ago. They were talking about farm prices. And this lady called in. She said, "I don't really care about farm prices. I don't care what the farmers do. I get mine at the grocery store." Yeah. And how did it get there? Amen. She didn't have a clue, did she? Amen. Well, we're still dependent on farmers. Amen. But people that lived in a pastoral and a rural setting understood things, and that's what this verse is talking about, laws of harvest. Harvest is important to all. I was reading today that the price of bacon's going up because of a drought. And the hogs don't do well in heat. And so I don't know if it's gone up yet, but hadn't you like bacon, you better get some. Amen. Because it's going up. Amen. And with everything else, right? Not just that. Praise the Lord. But it's interesting. Farm life is vital. And harvest is vital to the success and to the livelihood of human beings. One rule of the harvest is that we reap only what has been sown. You can't reap what's going to be sown. You got to reap what has been sown. We are eating now from last year's harvest, at least. What somebody planted in the past, that's what we have now. If somebody hadn't taken harvest last year, we wouldn't have anything to eat today. So we're always attached to the past. We never shake that off. We can never get away from it. Because everything that we are reaping today has already been sown. That's very important for us to understand the seeds that we have today in the earth. Did you know, genetically, you could trace them all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve. They're still the same kinds of seeds. Now, I understand about hybrid seeds. I know that with the knowledge that we have today that we can make hybrid seeds, but they're still reproduced after their kind. Amen. And so we still have seeds that and what was sown is what helps us today. Now, so today's seed will be tomorrow's harvest from yesterday's harvest. So it's all tied together, isn't it? I heard somebody make the statement that you have to be really nice to your kids because they're going to choose your nursing home. Amen. We are right now creating a future for our children that will affect our children. Concerns me that we are debtors to the tune of $16 trillion. That won't be dealt with in my lifetime, but it will come due in my daughter's lifetime. And she'll have to face that. What we have sown to this day, she'll have tomorrow. But on the other hand, the world that when I get too old to help myself, it'll be run by our children. So that's why you got to be nice to them. Amen. If you're a teacher, You got to be good to those kids. Maybe working in the nursing home, giving your meds when you get old. Amen. One of those little rascals might be the doctor doing your surgery. Amen. They might be serving your food in a restaurant. So each generation, we're all tied together, folks. That's why we always got to be nice to people. I always got to be nice to people. Because we reap a harvest. You sow and then you reap. Amen. I knew a man one, I heard a man one time that treated a pastor badly. And he was a businessman. He didn't do well. He was dishonest. And he hurt a pastor. And guess what? A few years later, he appeared before a board of a certain corporation to put in a bid to do some work. And guess who was on that board? There sat the pastor. And his heart dropped like a rock. It all comes to me. Amen. I read about a man that was late. Or going, he was rushing. He wasn't late, but he was rushing to get to a job interview on time. It was raining. He was in a hurry. Saw this lady trying to change her tire beside the road, and his conscience got the best of him. He just couldn't. Even though he knew that it would make him late, he had to stop. So he stopped and helped the lady change the tire, and jumped in his car and ran to his end, walked in soaking wet. Amen. And thought, man, it's I bombed this now. And the lady that opened the door and invited him in was the lady whose tire he had just changed. So guess what? He got the job. You never know. Life has a way. This is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Amen. So we reap only what has been sown. So but we sow something and it's going to come up. That's why we have to be very careful what we sow. Because we reap the same kind as we sow. Now we know that's true. Everybody's heard of DNA. And that's what makes everything everything. So if you plant corn, don't expect watermelons. You're going to get corn. Amen. If you plant beans, that's what you're going to get. That's what's going to... If anything comes up, beans will come up. You will get what you plant. And it's always that way. Not necessarily. Now, you may get a bag that says beans, and it might have something else in it, and it may come up, and you thought it was beans, but whatever you planted, what's coming up. Regardless of what it says on the package, when it comes up, that's going to be. The Bible said, and when the Lord created the creation, He said, let every kind bring forth after its kind. And that, to me, the great explanation of why we don't have a mixture of things. You know, monkeys produce monkeys. Dogs produce dogs, not donkeys. Amen. There's no thing. They always produce after their kind. Human beings produce after their kind. Seeds in the botanical world, each tree produces after its kind. I know that we can, with certain kinds of seeds, we can make them hybrid. We can take characteristics of certain species within a species, and we can improve it, but we can't completely change it. Everything stays within its species because God made it that way. And it's been that way until now, and it'll stay that way. Amen. And so we reap after the kind that we sow. You know what happens if you sow anger? You're going to reap anger. If you sow bitterness, you're going to reap bitterness. But if you sow goodness, that doesn't mean nothing bad is not ever going to happen to you. You're going to have some bad in your life. But basically, you're going to have a happy life if you sow happiness. You're going to have a joyful life if you sow joy. I know people that had some tough times, but they were happy people. They went through difficulties. Things happened to them that they didn't deserve. One of my aunts went through a really hard time when she was growing up and young and got married. And back in those days, of course, divorce was a horrible, horrible stigma in that era of time. And her husband left and went with another person. And she didn't have any way. She had no education. And so she made a living for her and her five kids, ironing clothes, and it was tough. But you know what? She was not a bitter person. She was a happy person. And when you're around her, she was happy. She didn't let that get her down. She didn't let that pull her down and destroy her. She didn't talk about how bad life had been. She prayed, talked in tongues, loved God, played her harmonica, sang her songs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sweet, sweet person. Didn't allow difficult things because she just kept sowing goodness. Goodness. But you know what I saw in her children? The same spirit that was in her. They were not bitter. They were happy because mom was happy. She put happiness in them, and that's what they were. And so we sow and we reap after the same kind as we sow. The Bible, and this is what I was reading to you here in the book of Galatians, that if we reap to the flesh or the carnal man, that's what we're going to reap. If you only sow to the carnality, to the human, to this temporal body, you're sowing to corruption because all this is going to dry up. This is the fallacy of up in materialism. Because all this stuff is stuff, and we're not taking it with us. Amen. Anybody ever been to a garage sale? You know, somebody paid good money for that. And now, they didn't get it for a quarter, but you can. Because it was something that they just had to have right at that time. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. We had a garage sale one time, and a lady brought this, it was some kind of a fur. It was pretty fur gone. It had some gaps in it, you know, where I guess mange had set in or something. You know, it was quite old. But boy, she wanted a price for that. She said, you don't know what my husband paid for that. Don't matter. This is a garage sale. It doesn't matter what he paid for it. You're not going to get much for it now. Amen. So that's the fallacy of materialism. People think, well, you know, I got all this stuff. Well, if you got an automobile, you know, you pay a price, and a few years later you get ready to trade it in, and you get almost angry thinking, what? Amen. It's not worth any more than that. I just bought the thing 3, 4, 5 years ago. It's worth almost nothing now. Man, and that's materialism. You sow to that, that's it's a decaying. It's a dying process. So if you only sow to the flesh, you're sowing to death. Things that pass away. But if we sow to the Spirit, we are sowing to life everlasting. So when we get ourselves in spiritual activities like prayer and worship, and as Amanda was talking about, getting the word of the Lord in our heart, amen, that will stay with you. Those are things that will not die. Didn't Jesus say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away? Amen. That's eternal, that he is going to bring into life. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he said, seeing you've been purified, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. And so he's saying that when you're born again, you're born into an eternal life. You see, when you were born into the physical realm, we were born as subjects of sin. the sin of Adam is already in our DNA. It's already in our body. And the minute you're born, corruption and decay set in. And every breath you breathe, and I know it's a little morbid here tonight, it'll get happier in a minute, but every breath you breathe physically brings you closer to your last breath. We don't have to hold them. Amen. That doesn't you can't go backwards in this thing. And you can't slow it down. Every breath is closer to the last one. Every heartbeat is closer to the last one because we're winding down. Amen. What do they call that? Cryogenics? Is that what they freeze people, you know? That one of these days, you know, in the sweet by and by, we're going to get so smart that we're going to be able to cure all these diseases, and they'll unthaw these people, and they'll be able to cure them, and then they'll live forever. Amen. I got a better deal for you. He said, Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. Of the water and the Spirit. Amen. To inherit eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And this new life, you're not going to be powered by blood. This body functions because of blood. Your blood stops pumping and you die. But in the life that you have received, that's going to be Spirit-powered. Amen. And Spirit is eternal because Spirit is God. God is a Spirit. God is Spirit. And so because of that, our new body is going to be powered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I read something interesting, kind of scary today. Did you know the state of California is voting on a bill that they'll be able to allow cars that drive themselves on the highway? Well, I guess they couldn't do much worse than some people. But seriously, we've reached a place where California, of all places, where there are so many cars, they're going to permit cars on the highway that drive themselves. Wow, that's scary, isn't it? Amen. But I got to thinking, that wouldn't be a bad way to live, Lord, would it? Just say, Lord, you take over now. You drive this vehicle. I've been driving in the ditch. I haven't been doing so good. Amen. Why don't you drive now? Amen. And let the Holy Ghost drive you. And you're going to arrive alive in a whole lot better shape than if you try to drive yourself. Amen. And so we reap after the same kind as we sow. Amen. So we sow according to what you need. What do you need in your life? It's what you sow. If you can look in your life today and you've got a shortage of something, that's what you need to start sowing. Amen. Well, I'm lonely. I'd like to have some friends. There's a cure for that. The Bible. He that would have friends must show himself friendly, right? So what do? You start being friendly. Amen. You start being friendly. And guess what? In time, you'll start reaping friendships. Amen. This is it. If you have a shortage of love in your life, love people. And they'll love you back. It's got to be genuine. You can't fake it. Amen. If you don't have joy in your life, just start sowing joy. Don't have peace in your life, sowing peace. Amen. What you sow in a little while, and it won't happen overnight, but you will reap that. It will come back to you. Because that's the spirit of reaping. What the kind you sow is what you reap. Of course, conversely, that's also true. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. Sow the spirit, reap the spirit. It's whatever you sow, that's what you're going to get. And then we more than we sow. Now here's a scary thing. It's a good thing, and it's true, isn't it? It's true. Jesus in his parable about the harvest, he said, and talking about the seed, fell into good ground, he said, brought forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. But always more than what you get. Did you know one ear of corn that comes from one kernel of corn could have as many as 3,000 kernels on it? From one plant. That's a pretty good increase, isn't it? You sow one, And it produces up to 3,000. Amen. That's a good thing. If you're sowing good, that's good. Woo, but if you're sowing bad, that's a lot of bad. Have you ever thought in life, but you know, I just did one bad thing. Why do bad things keep happening to me? Because you get more than you sow. That's the law of reaping. But that's going to pass. It's a harvest. It's for a season. And then the bad will pass and the good will come. If you're doing good. It keeps on good. So we reap more than we sow. Amen. So the secret then is you don't sow what you don't want multiplied. If you don't want a whole bunch of bad, don't sow any. You're going to get some. Just, and I'm going to talk about that at the end of this thing. You're going to get some because we live this life. And some people sow bad stuff. And we'll talk about that. But basically, what you sow is what you're going to reap. And so what you want to multiply, that's what you sow bountifully. Praise the Lord. I love that old song. We sing it every now and then. Heal my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. You see, and how does that happen? Because you sow it. You love people. You just love people. But what if they don't deserve it? You love them anyway. Jesus loved you when you didn't deserve it. So you just love people. By the love of God, shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you just learn to love people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we reap more than we sow, and that's a fact. And then we reap in proportion to what we sow. If you're going to feed a family, all you need is a garden. But if you're going to feed a city, you need a very large field. And if you're going to feed the world, then you need to sow everything that's available. Because you're going to reap in proportion to what you sow. If you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot more. If you sow a little bit, you're going to get a little bit more. So whatever it is that you want, it's going to be in proportion. So this applies to the church like this. If we want to harvest, we have to plant. Amen. And if we want to reach one, then we teach one. If you want to reach a family, we teach a family. If you want to reach a city, we sow to the city. Somebody asked me one time, church where I was, they said, how many are you running in your church? And I said, well, right now we're running about 9,000. And they said, whoa, how'd that happen? I said, oh, no, we hadn't caught all of them, but we're running them. We only caught about 100 of them, but we're running 9,000. Amen. That's the way it's got to be. You've got to run all of them. You may not catch them, but you need to run after them. Do everything that you can to try to reap that harvest. Amen. We had a saying a few years ago. Some of you might remember this. It said, if each one reached one and each one won one, then we could really have revival, couldn't we? We got about 50 people around here tonight or so. I don't know. Didn't count everybody. But is that say if you had 50 and each one won one, then we just would have 100, wouldn't we? And then if 100 won one, then you'd have 200. And talking about give you a whole year. In 3 years, we'd have 400. In 4 years, we'd have 800. In 5 years, we'd have 1,600. In 6 years, we'd have 3,200. In 7 years, we'd have 6,400. And in 8 years, we'd have 12,800. And that's everybody in the city of Athens. You see, this works if we work it. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, what if it didn't work? Wouldn't it be sad about half of that? No, it wouldn't be sad at all. It'd be great. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If we just got 10% tithe, amen. 1,200 would be a good starting place. Amen. I'm talking about a harvest tonight. God wants us to have a harvest, and we must sow in proportion to what we want to reap. You want a great harvest, you got to sow a lot of seed. Amen. And if you want a little bit, then that's okay. Just reap a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's a fact that we reap in a different season than when we sow. Very, very important that we understand this. New converts, when they come to the Lord, oftentimes, in the first few years they live for God, they go through a lot. But what they've got to understand is they're reaping what they sowed. I went to Bible college with a young man out on bail. He had trafficked in drugs before he was saved. And he'd been to the court, and they, you know, he's out on bail just until it was time for his trial to come up. And he was at Bible college just one semester. He was a soul winner deluxe. He loved the Lord. But you know what? He went to prison. New convert. He went to because he had, that's what he sowed before he came to the Lord. And he went, the Lord went with him. And he had revival in prison. Praise the Lord. I don't remember how many. Went over 100 people to the Lord, I know. The warden's wife was one of them. She found the Lord through his testimony. Great witness. But he did have to reap some things, because that was just what he sowed. That's just part of life. Amen. But guess when you start, as soon as you come to the Lord, then you start sowing the good seed, and a little while you've reaped pretty much all the past. So from there it gets better. And then a few years, all that old seed's gone. Amen. And you're reaping good stuff, and that's what you've been planting. Spiritual seed. Does that make sense to anybody? That's the way life really works. Amen. It's a cycle of maturity. Amen. So we reap in a different season. Everybody knows that. You sowed it, you don't reap today. That's going to be down the road somewhere. Harvest time's a ways off. It's going to take some time. You got to do some watering and some cultivating. But in time, you will have a harvest, but not in the same season. Amen. I remember doing a visitation one time with a young man. He'd never been before. He went out, man, he was so excited. He said, we knocked doors, and he was so excited. He said, man, he said, we're going to have a house full tomorrow. He said, every door I knocked on, they said they're going to be there tomorrow. Well, next day, not one of them showed up. He was so disappointed. He was so disappointed. But you see, you've got to understand, you're the same season. You got to go back again, and befriend, and be a good example, and be a blessing, and sow seed, and how it begins to come up. Churches go through seasons. Amen. There are seasons of harvest. You see, the only way people can get the Holy Ghost in a church is if there's people that don't already have the Holy Ghost. If everybody's already got it, then obviously nobody new is going to get it till we get somebody that doesn't have it. That's how you have a harvest. You know, you have churches, but you won't have harvest unless you get people there that don't. Amen. But if you get people there that have the Holy Ghost and you keep that going, then you can keep a harvest going over time. It'll take a while, but you'll always be in harvest. And at the same time you're in harvest, well, the other cycle's going as well. Some that are already won, you'll be founding and grounding and discipling them. Amen. And then they'll become leaders, and it just goes on, and the cycle continues. But it's important that we understand that it's in a different season than when we first sow. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we understand today this is also about heritage. What we have here in Athens, Texas, is the result of the ministries that came before us here. Going back, I suppose, 60 years. Amen. It goes a long ways back. And a lot of this harvest that we have time, you see, that happens. You just plant seed. It's interesting to go. I've been back a couple of times to places where I pastored before, and to see new people there that were not there when I was the pastor, although we know that seed. Some of those people that are come into the church and are living for God today, we couldn't get them to come, but we did plant seed. Amen. We witnessed to them. We taught them Bible studies, and we loved them and did everything we could. They never come to church. I leave, and they start coming to church. Huh? Go figure. Amen. But that's life. It's a cycle. You keep planting. Amen. We reap a full harvest only if we persevere. Amen. A full harvest, you really got to work at it, don't you? The Bible said we reap if we faint not. Got to keep at it. Got to keep at it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we're doing here. It's what we're doing in Canton. Amen. We go to Canton, and sometimes Brother Chris and I, we have a good time. Amen. You know, when we first started, remember? Man, we almost needed two vans to get there, didn't we? Whoop! Everybody wanted to go to Canton. And brother, we're going to have revival and praise the Lord. And we are. But you know how we're going to have it? Because we're not going to faint. If there's two there, we're going to feed two. Amen. And we're just going to keep planting. We're going to keep sowing. Amen. That's the only way you have a harvest, folks. You can't just say, man, it happened in a month, or 2 months, or 3 months, or 4 months, or 6 months. You can't faint. You just got to keep at it. That's how harvest comes about. That's how it happens in life. You just got to keep planting. You got to keep watering. You got to keep cultivating. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in time, you'll have a harvest. I love what Hebrews said concerning Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible said, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Everybody say patience. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. For consider him that endured such contradictions against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Amen. When you're going through a tough time, remember Jesus. He went through a tough time too. Amen. When it's not fair, it wasn't fair for him either. When you're suffering for righteousness' sake, remember, he suffered for righteousness' sake. But it pays off if you just stay with it. Be patient. Persevere. Don't quit. Don't get weary. Don't faint. Press on. That's it. That's how we have a harvest. Another thing you can't do is you can't worry about last year's harvest. Well, you know, I tried, nothing worked out. Well, you got to try again. I tried that, Pastor. I planted good stuff, and I had a crop failure. Well, some years are like that. Some years are like that. So what do? You just plant some more. You just go back and you do it again. Amen. You can't live in the past. You can't get the past. Amen. You can't live there. Now, you can visit the past and the good places, and you can draw some encouragement from that. You know, when David was getting ready to face Goliath, remember what he did? He visited his past, didn't he? He went back to his victories. And he said to Saul, he said, you know, when I was watching my father's sheep, he said, I came out and I killed him with my bare hands. And he said, a lion came out, and I slew him with my hands and took the lamb out of his mouth. He looked back to what the Lord had already done. And he said, then the Lord will deliver that uncircumcised Philistine into my hands also. You see, he went back to his past. He brought some faith into the future, into the present. And then he went out into the future and won another victory for God. That's okay. You can do that. What the Lord has done, the victories. But don't dwell there. It's a, you know, the past is, but not a good place to live. Can't live there. Amen. I know great things happened in the past, but great things are happening now. And great things are going to happen. We can't stay there. Amen. I know how great things used to be, and praise the Lord for that. But this is not now. Life moves on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Life moves on, and you got to move with it. You can't stay in one place. It's going to move you one way or the other. You just can't stay there. So we can't do anything about last year's harvest. I like what Paul said. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have an, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. So he said, I forget about what was back there. And I press on. I press on. Amen. We have a good Sunday night service. Praise the Lord. Start looking to Wednesday. Amen. Have a good Wednesday night service. We start looking toward Sunday or Friday night with Brother Jolly. Whatever it is. Amen. You're always pressing forward. Pressing forward. Pressing forward. Amen. Pressing on. So don't stay in the past. Press forth to something even better. Amen. All right, so what do we do then about this harvest? Number one is you sow what you want. What kind of church do we want? Do you want a worshipful church? Yes, we do. So we worship. We want a spiritual church? Yes, we do. So let's be spiritual. We want a holiness church? Yes, we do. So let's be holy. Amen. We want a lively church? Yes, we do. So let's be lively. Amen. The kind of church we want? That's the kind of church that we work toward. That seed we sow. Amen. We want a church that has young people and middle-aged people and old people and every kind of people. And that's what we sow to. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what? People are never too young to get the Holy Ghost after they can talk and walk. Amen. I've seen them as young as 4 years old, 5 years old. Receive the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you know they have got the Holy Ghost? Because they spoke in tongues. And that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm 80 years old receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So you see, it's everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I think it's good to see every nationality and every culture. Amen. And never color. That's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. How you do that? You just sowed everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. We had a guy one time, we were South Texas. The city we were in was about 90% Hispanic. And got called one day, and he asked my wife, he said, do you let Mexican people come to your church? My wife said, well, most of us are. And then he said, well, I'm not, but anyway, he got the point. There's no problem. Come on. And guess what? Some of his family is still going to that church today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, that's what you want. It doesn't matter. It bothers me that some people think somehow that you got to have, you know, a white church and then you got to have a black church and you got to have an Asian church and you got a Hispanic church and you got to have a whatever other kind of church. And No. Heaven's not going to be segregated. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be that way. Amen. The Bible said every kindred, every nation, every tongue. Amen. One heaven, one God. And we're all going to be worshiping. And everybody brings something different. So somebody comes here and they worship a little differently than you do. Don't worry about it. Just worship with them. Amen. Everybody's a little bit different. But that really adds flavor to something. Amen. You know, when you cook a good dish, it's got some savor, some flavor. It's because you put different stuff in it. You keep adding salt, it just gets salty. Amen. But if you add a little salt, put a little pepper in there, well, you know, and a few other things, and you start spicing it up, you know, and after a while, it's like, man, whoo, that's good. Amen. Because you add different things to it. Everybody brings something different to the table of the Lord. Amen. And that's a beautiful thing. Amen. So, yeah, we want to sow to every kind. Amen. We want to sow in proportion to what we desire. And as I said before, we're running everybody in the county. 80,000. We're going to run them all. We not get them, but we're going to run them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And we can't get them in this building, we'll build another one. We can't get them in that one, we'll build two or three more someplace else. Amen. We'll just build churches till there's enough to fit everybody in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you can preach to a lot of people, but you can't be pastor to a whole lot of them. Yeah. Amen. So, I hear people, you know, when I'll pastor 100,000 people. I doubt it. You preach to 100,000 people. Amen. Most of them know who you are, but you know who they are. Mm-hmm. Think there's anybody that knows 100,000 people? Do you think there's anybody that knows 5,000 people? I mean, really know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you see, what you got to do, you got to raise up leadership and start different churches. Amen. Many of them. It makes a lot more sense to me than a mega church. Praise the Lord. Alrighty, let me press on here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to sow in proportion to what we desire. We've got to persevere. We've got to endure. Be not weary in well-doing. And I'm going to close here with a couple of things. When you do your best, Jesus taught us that an enemy came, Matthew chapter 13. He said that an enemy sowed tares, weeds. Now, a tare and wheat, when they're growing up, look the same. And you really can't difference. You can't really tell the difference until it's harvest time. And the tare will not have fruit, and the wheat will. But it's really hard to tell when they're growing up. So here's the thing. Jesus said, let them grow up together. Don't try to pull up the tares, because when you do that, you'll pull up some wheat too. He said, you just let them grow up together. And then at the harvest time, he said, then we can separate the wheat from the tares. That's some of the greatest advice that you'll ever hear. I've seen people sometimes that they want you to deal with problems. Brother, you need to deal with that. I am. I'm letting them grow together. I'm going to let them grow together. You know, I've learned this lesson. I've tried to pull a few tares in my time. And every time I've done it, I lost some wheat. And it wasn't worth it. I've seen some very, very precious people get hurt. Somebody was trying to pull up some tares. Amen. And it wasn't worth it. The tare wasn't worth all that trouble. God knows who they are and what they are. He'll take care of business. Just let them grow up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? You want some real good advice? Mind your own business. Amen. Well, that was good, brother. That was deep, wasn't it? That's some deep stuff right there. Amen. You just let them grow. God's going to take care of it. Amen. Yes. Always. You're going to have tares in the church. You're going to have situations. You're going to have people that don't do right. You're going to have people that hurt other people's feelings, step on other people's toes. Not all of them are tares. Amen. Some of them are overzealous. Some of them are just not thinking. That's a nice way to say that, wasn't it? People just, you know, they're people. They're human beings. We all are. So, but you just got to make up your mind, hey, I'm in to the end. Nothing is going to separate me. I'm going to stay with it. Amen. So there will be tares. There will be. Amen. And then the Bible said, Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bare to see, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what that's saying? What that verse is talking about, it's talking about there's not much food on the table, but you still got to take some seed. If you eat it today, you won't have anything tomorrow. You won't have any more harvest if you consume everything now. So you've got to take a portion of what you could enjoy today, and you've got to invest that into the future. Even if you do it with tears, even if you know it, it's going to be some tough times. I'm going to have to cinch my belt tighter. Amen. I'm going to have to do without some things, but I've got to have a harvest. And so you go out weeping, but you sow that seed anyway. This is hard. I'm hurting. I've been done wrong, but I've got to have some good things. I'm going to leave all that behind. So I'm going to cast this into my future. And I'm going to plant for tomorrow. And so you cast that seed into the ground for tomorrow. Believe in God that it's going to produce. And it's going to have a harvest, but it's going to be a good harvest because you're sowing good seed. And the promise is, he said he shall doubtless, if I say doubtless, come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what a sheave is? Amen. That's got a head on it. It's not one seed, but it's a whole bunch of seeds. Praise the Lord. That's your harvest. It's a lot more than what you planted. And that's what's going to come back to you. But you just got to keep sowing. You just got to keep sowing. Amen. Oh, you know, only eternity is really going to reveal the harvest. We think we've done some things here, but we really don't know yet what good we have done. Praise the Lord. I think in heaven we're going to see people, and they're going to know us, and we're going to say, who are you? And they're going to say, well, you know, you remember so-and-so? Yeah, I remember them. Well, you know, they won me to the Lord, and they won me to the Lord because you won them to the Lord. Amen. And if you hadn't won them, they couldn't have won me. Praise the Lord. And so heaven's going to be a place that we're finally going to see the harvest. I don't know if I've done much, brother. You won't be surprised. You're going to be amazed. Amen. That's your influence when you get there. Just keep sowing. Law of harvest. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight for your time, your attention. Amen. We want a good harvest, don't we? This is how we have it. It's important that we follow these things. Amen. So good. You're going to have some tares. The enemy is going to see to it. The enemy is going to sow some tares in your field. But don't let that discourage you. You just keep sowing some good wheat, some good seed, because they're going to grow up together. And then at the harvest, it's all going to be separated. God's going to take care of it. But you just keep doing what you know is right and what you know to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've really enjoyed our elders through the years and drawn a lot things from their experiences. I remember one of our elders, he had a lady in the church that gave him fits. I mean, she would make comments during the preaching and hit people with an umbrella. Amen. Somebody said, "Pastor, why do you put up with that?" He'd just smile and say, "She's my grace builder. She builds my grace." Amen. He had another guy in the church, and he, big old guy, simple, sold pencils on the street to make some money. Was not always the cleanest fella, not the best dressed. One day he was walking down the street with another pastor of an influential church in the city. And the influential pastor said, "He goes to your church, doesn't he?" Pointed to that young man, and the pastor said, "Yeah, he goes to my church." And he says, "Why do you let him?" He said, "Because you won't let him go to yours." Because you won't let him go to yours. Isn't that a shame? Amen. Folks ought to be able to come to church. Said folks ought to be able to come to church. Praise the Lord. This is where folks get helped. This is where folks get saved. This is where people get delivered. This is where people get their life back on track. Amen. It's important. Amen. Somebody messes up, don't run them off. They need us now more than ever. They ever needed us, they need us now. Does that make any sense? Isn't that what this is about? A church is not a museum of perfection. It's a hospital for the hurting. Amen. This is where folks get well. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much for... Why don't we just go to the Lord together and pray here tonight before we... And ask Him to help us to have a great harvest. Jesus, in our individual lives tonight, we need a harvest. We have a harvest. Amen. In my spiritual life, there's a harvest. Amen. In my physical realm, there's a harvest. I got to be careful what I sow, because that's what I'm going to reap. And I need you to help me to sow the good and not the bad. And God, as a church body, as a corporate body, we're in the business of reaching a city, reaching a county, reaching the world. And we need your help. But we want to do our part. We want to sow everything we can. Help us, God, to get busy sowing good seed. The gospel seed. Amen. It'll bring forth. I know that there's different kinds of soil. And I know that there's nothing wrong with the seed. So help us to prepare carefully, so we can have a full harvest. Amen. We're interested in reaching. God, and some tonight that might be struggling with a poor harvest from last year, help them to understand. Just hold on. Hold on. There's another harvest just a little ways away. Just a few more tomorrows, and it'll be totally different than it is right now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bring victory. Bring hope. Bring peace. Bring joy. And your steadfast love. We thank you tonight and give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise.
Praise you, mighty God. I praise you, mighty God. money, God. Hallelujah.
From this world below.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
But payday will come.
Oh, yes, it will.
When the pearly gates unfold.
Oh, I'm a prisoner of love.
I'm a slave to the master.
And I willingly
talk through the heat and the cold.
Yes, I do. And I'll seek no reward from this world below. Cause
payday will come.
Oh, yes.
When the pearly gates unfold.
Amen. Because I'm a prisoner of love. And I'm a slave to the master. I willingly toil
through the heat and the cold.
I seek no reward in this world below. But my payday will come. Yes, it will. When the pearly gates unfold. But my payday will come. Oh, yes. When the pearly gates unfold. Said my payday will come. Oh, yes, when the pearly gates unfold. Amen. Just hold on. Keep sowing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Remember, we've got some good stuff waiting next door. Food, fellowship. Amen. If you'll let me pray right now, we'll just ask the Lord to bless it, and then you'll be ready. Amen. God, we're so grateful for a beautiful service tonight. Thank you for a wonderful, beautiful, sweet spirit. We never want to take that for granted. That's our greatest treasure. We thank you tonight for your word. Bless it to our hearts, to our minds, to our future. We pray, God, that you would bless everybody. Bless Brother and Sister Morris for their sacrifice to prepare food for everybody. Amen. Bless them richly, we pray. And we thank you for this food. Bless it, God, to us, and then use us in your service. And we thank you. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Amen. I'll see you next door.